You're just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, the radio outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose here at CRI is to equip Christians to provide biblical answers to life's most important questions, to read the Bible for all it's worth, and counter the teachings of cults and world religions that deviate from the plumb line of God's Word, because life and truth matter. For more information, to order resources or donate, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. Now here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
If you've ever wondered how important a ministry like the Christian Research Institute is, the following letter may underscore its value in a way that you may have never considered before. Here's a testimony, and this is from an active Methodist pastor who says that he's also an atheist. He goes on to say, I began the ministry full of great dreams and full of faith in what I preached. However, over time I began to realize that the truth I was preaching wasn't so true. I resisted my doubt at first, but the nagging in my brain wouldn't stop. So I embarked on a journey of researching and discovering that what I had believed for so long just wasn't true. I'm still in the pulpit. There are a couple of reasons for this. First, I made a commitment to my church and my denomination to serve this appointment. Second, the financial issue. If I walk away now, my family will suffer greatly. Trust me, this decision to stay for now hasn't been an easy one. Every week I feel like I am a fraud. Every week I struggle with the fact that I'm lying when I stand before my congregation. I'm leading a double life. I do have an exit strategy, but it will require some time. Until then, I will continue to serve my church and fight the battle in my mind. Thanks to the Clergy Project, I'm able to find a supportive community who understands and encourages me during this time. The friends I've made are invaluable, they're open, they're honest with their struggles, and continually offer support not only to me, but all the others in my position. And here you have, again, a Methodist pastor who no longer believes that the Christian worldview is true. And in this kind of milieu, and he is not alone. When I go home, I have my kids carrying on debates on their computers with people who are utterly demolishing the Christian faith. They think it's nonsense. And so they're being equipped to respond in the process, becoming usable tools in the hands of the Holy Spirit. And that's just the point. We ought to be able to demonstrate that the Christian worldview corresponds to reality, that God created the universe. We're not functions of random chance. That nothing could not have created everything, that life could not have come from non-life, and it's simply a stretch to believe that the life that came from non-life produced morals. We ought to be able to communicate that Jesus rose from the dead. That's not something we believe in blind hope, but rather we believe through faith and evidence, and that the Bible is divine as opposed to merely human in origin. Many of the answers that one of my sons was asking me yesterday in witnessing to a friend answered in a book called Has God Spoken? So we kept going back to that book because the canards thrown out by a person that didn't believe were addressed in substance in my book, Has God Spoken? And that book, available for those who support the ministry, those who join the support team, in fact, and we hope many of you do, I'll send you a personalized copy of Has God Spoken for your gift. A lot of you hanging on will go right to the phone lines. First up is Ron listening in Springfield, Missouri. Hi, Ron.
Hi, how are you doing today, Hank?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, blessed as always. Always happy to get a chance to talk to you, too. Hear you're busy right now. So.
Thank you.
I'm coming from a verse in John, and I would like for maybe our dialogue to just open up from here concerning Messianic Judaism and the message of Jesus being the Torah made flesh. And I really just want to start on John chapter 4, in verse 22.
Mm-hmm.
You Samaritans worship that you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshiper will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks.
Yes.
Could you expound on that?
Yeah, I think there's a fundamental principle here that you have to understand when you read the Bible for all it's worth or mine the Bible for all its wealth. And that is, there's a distinction between that which is true Israel and that which is ethnic Israel. And that distinction is made throughout the Bible, which is to say that there are those who call themselves Jews, but they're not. They're a synagogue of Satan, as you read in the book of Revelation. So in biblical theology, true Israel is not a function of your ethnicity or your genealogy. It is a function of your relationship to Yahweh, the God of Israel, revealed in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So in the Old Testament, you can have Rahab or Ruth, though one is a Canaanite, the other a Moabite, in the lineage of Jesus Christ in true Israel. The same thing is true in the New Testament. You can have anyone who believes in Jesus Christ, whether Jew or Greek, whether slave or free, whether male or female, being the royal seed of Abraham. And so in biblical theology, Abraham only had one seed. That seed is Jesus Christ. If you are in Jesus Christ, then you are the seed of Abraham, or true Israel, and an heir according to the promise. I've laid this out in great detail for you in my book, The Apocalypse Code. One of the problems with Messianic Judaism, it's a potential liability, is to go back to types and shadows when the ultimate sacrificial Lamb has come. So once you have Jesus Christ, going back to civil and ceremonial laws or types and shadows is anathema. It is, in the words of the writer of Hebrews, it is tantamount to trampling on the sacred blood of Jesus Christ. We're going to go back to the phone lines, talk to Roger, listening in St. Joseph, Missouri. Hi, Roger.
Hi, Hank. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, I'm just confused as all.
Well, let's see if we can do something about it.
All right. I've been a Christian since I was born. My mother was, I mean, she raised me totally scripturally. And for the last 3 years anyway, I've just wrecked about my whole life. And so I'm back and trying to straighten it out. And you read the Bible and in like Psalm 71, 1 through 11, how do you claim those things? How you've praised him always and how you've done this and that, and he asked for help.
Yeah, well, Roger, you're the perfect candidate. Christianity is not for those who do everything right. The entrance requirements into the kingdom of God is to recognize that you are hopelessly lost. You have no hope of saving yourself. So you're turning to the one who can save you, and that is Jesus Christ. He bridges the gap between your sin and the righteousness of God. And therefore, if you repent of your sin, which is a U-turn on the road of life, a change of mind, a change of heart, a change of the will, and receive Jesus Christ, the Savior and Lord of your life, then you can have all of the riches of Scripture appropriated to you. In other words, you are then eternally in Jesus Christ. And now you're working from your salvation. You're covered by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You're yet a sinner, and you will continue to struggle with sin until the day that you die. So, yeah, you're going to struggle. You're going to continue even to struggle with your past, but you are covered by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And the one who justifies you, Roger, is also the one who is daily conforming you to the image of Christ. So he is, as it were, sanctifying you, transforming you from the inside out. And that's an ongoing process. And when you are subjectively involved in that process, you don't think that there's a lot of headway in the right direction. But trust me, people looking from the outside objectively at your life recognize that you're making great strides.
Well, that's very helpful. Because, you know, like say you square everything up and you read and you pray and you're ready to go, and then you blow it again tomorrow, and it's like sooner or later he's going to get tired of hearing from me.
Well, but remember, there is change that takes place. You're not going to be the same person a year from now that you are today. You are daily being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. You're being changed from the inside out. And the beautiful thing that you can take heart in, Roger, is that the one who justified you is also involved in sanctifying you. So he doesn't only save you, but he changes you from the inside out. So take heart in that. But you have to obviously appropriate the means of grace, which is to say you should be part of a healthy, well-balanced church. You should be in the Word of God. You should be building a relationship with the lover of your soul through prayer. You should partake of the spiritual disciplines, because through the spiritual disciplines, you will ultimately affect growth in your life. There's a book that I wrote in this regard that might be very helpful to you. It's a book called The Prayer of Jesus. If you hang on, I will send it as my gift to you, along with the prayers that you will grow continuously in the grace and knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We'll be right back with more answers to your questions. So please don't touch that dial.
To find out more about the materials mentioned on the show, call a CRI resource consultant toll-free at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Our website is also an excellent reference destination to help you. Just go to equip.org and find articles by Hank, books, CDs, and DVDs. Again, that's equip.org. Or write CRI P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip 28271. The Bible Answer Man will continue in just a moment. Angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Luke chapter 2, verses 10 through 12. While many of you will soon enter the hustle and bustle of the holiday season, Hank Hanegraaff has penned The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season to ensure that just as you prepare your home for Christmas, you likewise prepare your heart. Order The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season by calling 888-7000-274 or by going online to www.equip.org. Also available is The Heart of Christmas audiobook, dramatically read by Hank Hanegraaff. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do. Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making, and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org.
Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll return to our callers as well. Next up is Ron. He's listening in Cloverdale, Indiana. Hi, Ron.
Hi, how are you, Hank?
I'm good.
Thanks for taking my calls. Bless you.
You're welcome.
And my question is, I was reading Revelation chapter 22, about verse 18, where it refers to where if you add to or take away from you, if you add to the words of those prophecy, then the plagues will be added, and the plagues of this book will be added to you. And if you take away from the word, then the your portion of the tree of life will be taken away. And one to know if you'd expand on that.
Yeah, I mean, this is a teaching that you find throughout the Bible. So this particular statement refers specifically to the book of Revelation, but because this is repeated throughout the Bible, you find it, for example, in Deuteronomy as well as in Proverbs, it is a teaching of Scripture, and that is the Word of God is the final court of arbitration. We shouldn't add to it nor subtract from it. And certainly this was a warning that was given to copyists in particular, who are entrusted with the reverential task of copying the biblical manuscripts. They were not to add their own sentiments to the text, but rather copy the text intact. And this is one of the great things that we find when we study the manuscript copies, is that the copyists, they engaged their task with reverential awe, because these are ultimately the words of God spoken through men who were being carried along by the Holy Spirit. So this is a sacred task to preserve the Word of God.
So would that pertain to us today? Like I know you're talking to about the Mormons and so forth, and how they have added on that Book of Mormon as to supersede the Bible. They add to their beliefs by putting that Book of Mormon. Would you consider that to be something pertaining to this scripture right here?
Yes, I would. I think that the Mormon quad is a very dangerous thing, in that it's adding new revelation, and it's saying something which is even more egregious, which is that the new revelation is better than the old revelation. They say that the Book of Mormon is the most correct of any book on earth. Conversely, they tell you that the Bible is riddled with mistake and error. So yeah, I think it's a very dangerous thing, because they're subtracting from the value of the Bible and adding the Book of Mormon as well as the rest in the quad to the teachings of the Bible, although the quad includes the Bible in their view. They have four revelations. And then on top of that, they have their president who can add to revelation as well, because his revelation in the present is considered on the same status as canonical scripture.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And the timing of that, like those plagues that are going to take place, well, you know, if people do those things, they partake in adding to and take away from, will that be in this life, or when will that be?
Well, the text actually tells you in Revelation, we're told that if anyone adds anything to them, or words to them, words to the prophecy given in the book of Revelation, particularly in this case, God will add him to plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes away words from this book of prophecy, God will take away from him his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book, which is to say that Revelation describes a new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven, prepared as a bride, beautifully adorned for her husband. It's describing paradise restored. And if you are adding to the words of Scripture something that is completely alien to Scripture, then you're controverting the words of Scripture, and therefore you're ultimately not a follower of the God who gave us love letters etched in heavenly handwriting.
Absolutely. And so would that pertain to the church of today? Like, if the church does not add to or take away from him, we adhere to the Scriptures just as they're written, so then we will not have to partake of the wrath of God, so to speak.
Yeah, I mean, if we follow the biblical teaching, then we can have reconciliation with God. If we do not, then we can't have reconciliation with God. For example, if in the modern Protestant church you are taught, as is the case in many mainline churches today, that Jesus Christ didn't really rise from the dead, that's simply allegorical language, or Jesus Christ really didn't come in the incarnation, or that Jesus Christ really isn't coming again to put all things to right. It's all about how we live here and now. If you were being taught those kinds of things, you would have added your own vain philosophy, and therefore you would be excluded because you have a different worldview from the kingdom communicated in the Word of God. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Stevie, listening in North Carolina. Hi, Stevie.
Hello, Hank. How are you today, sir?
I'm good, thank you.
Hank, what does it mean for our God to be a sovereign God?
Well, it means that God is sovereign over the affairs of humankind, which is to say that God is in complete control. He is the one who is in control of all things. He is all-powerful. He is all-knowing. He is omnipresent, he is transcendent, he is glorious, and he is the king of the universe. All things were created by him, and there's nothing that has been created that was not made by him, and therefore he is the creator of all things. In sovereignty, yes.
I appreciate it.
You got it. Want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Dawn next. She's listening in Chowchilla, California. Hi, Dawn.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm amazingly well. Thank you.
Oh, good to talk to you.
I'm a new Christian. About a year and a half ago, I gave my life to the Lord. And I have some questions. I have a lot of questions about the Bible. But one question that we've been studying in Bible study is about the Christians that are being judged. I mean, I understand that sinners are judged because of their sin. But as Christians, if we're under the blood, how are we going to be judged?
Well, remember that we are saved by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ, but we are saved unto good works, which is to say that what we do now counts for all eternity. So there are, in biblical theology, crowns, and those crowns are those things that you can do as you work from your salvation. The crowns are symbolic of royalty for Christ. For Christians, they're symbolic of our eternal reward. And they're not perishable crowns like the wreaths that were awarded to those who win an athletic event on earth, but they were imperishable crowns that will reflect the glory of God throughout eternity. And that's why Paul urges his young protege, Timothy, to train himself for righteousness like a runner trains for a race. His portrayal is one of a fatigued relay racer who's preparing to pass a baton. Paul is saying, look, if you keep the faith, if you finish the race, there is in store for you a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to you on that day, and not only to you, but to all who have longed for his appearing. So Paul talks about the crown of righteousness, and Peter talks about the crown of glory, and you have the master talking about the crown of life, and they are again symbolic of those rewards that we receive in heaven. And rewards involve both enlarged responsibilities in eternity as well as enhanced spiritual capacities. And the illustration that I like to use in this regard, Don, is that the capacity for enjoying music is always greatly enhanced when you master a musical instrument. And in the same way, the work we do here and now will greatly enhance our capacity for enjoying eternity.
And when you say works, are you talking about like going out and ministering to the homeless, feeding the poor? I mean, things like that. Are those the kind of works that you're talking about? Or
yeah, they certainly are. Yes. And, you know, there's a passage you may want to look at in your Bible study. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And that makes this point fairly emphatically, where there's no foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. So the foundation of your salvation is Jesus Christ. But then you build on that foundation. And if what you build survives, you'll receive reward. If it's burned up, you'll suffer loss. But you yourself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. And this, again, is metaphorical language, but it is language that is magnifying the truth that some Christians will be resurrected with precious little to show for the time they spent on earth. In other words, to be saved, as it were, as one escaping from the flames. And that conjures up images of people escaping burning buildings with little more than charred clothes upon their backs. So it's vivid imagery to point to the reality that while your foundation is Jesus Christ, you build on that foundation by what you do here and now. And the things that you mentioned are all part and parcel of that. I want to mention, Don, that I've written about this specifically in an entire chapter called Rewards in a book titled Resurrection. So if you want further information, there's a whole chapter on it which lays it out biblically. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's the contact information once again, equip.org on the web, by mail, Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, and via the phone 888-7000 and the letters CRI. Out of here for today. Look forward to seeing you next time with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
Thanks for tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Our website, equip.org, has an abundance of resources to sharpen your discernment skills and help you grow in life and truth. We provide books, videos, and informative articles. You can also listen to the broadcast, download archived programs, get answers to pressing Bible questions, or connect with us via social media. All this and more at equip.org. Again, the address is equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
To fully grasp the significance of Christ's messianic role, you must drink deeply from the wellspring of Old Testament prophecy. In Hebrews, as in the rest of the New Testament, the Old Testament history of Israel is interpreted as a succession of types that find ultimate fulfillment in the birth, death, resurrection, an ascension of the Christ we celebrate at Christmas.
Hank Hanegraaff has penned The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season to ensure that just as you prepare your home for Christmas, you likewise prepare your heart. Order The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season by calling 888-7000-274 or by going online to www.equip.org.